ready for the word? All right, so let me tell you this. There's no opening scripture this week because I want to save it to the end. It's so good. Y'all are like, this is weird. This is a weird way to start off 2018. So just do me a favor. Lift your Bibles or your electronic devices high in the air. We're going to say, do we have it? Can we say our Bible? You know what? Let's see who knows it by heart because the word, it's not working. All right. Oh, there it is. Let's say our Bible affirmation together. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Okay, I'm going to do the best I can to get through this message today as much as I can. If I don't finish it, I'll have to continue it for next week because I want to be mindful of your time. Amen? All right, so how many of you made these resolutions this year to say that I am going to make some goals and I want to make sure that my goals follow the plans of God? Anybody? Anybody make goals? Anybody make your... Okay, like three of y'all. God, I'm in the wrong group. Okay, let me ask this question. How many of you want to know God's will for your life? Amen. All right. Well, I thought about it and I said, Lord, you know, what a great series to start the year off with because all of us want to make sure that we know your will and some of us want to try to do it. I know that everybody don't want to do God's will. Everybody wants to just know his will or at least get the benefits of his will out of their life. So, I get that. But there are so many questions surrounding God's will that I thought there was no better way to kick off the new year than to begin this, than to do this series called God's Will. I want you to know what God's will is for your life. And I think that the most frequent questions that I get asked as a pastor, people will sit there and they'll talk to me for 30 seconds about their problem. And they'll say, now, Pastor, what do you think God's will is for me? I don't know. And I hate to disappoint some of y'all because maybe you think because I'm a pastor, I got some closer connection to God than you do. I really don't. Maybe you think that because I'm a pastor, I have some greater knowledge. I really don't. What I do know is that I can't tell you exactly what God wants you to do in every situation. And so many people want to know, what do you want me to do? And I think that God's will is the most confusing thing in the world today. How many of y'all feel confused when you start to, like, okay, God, I'm asking the question, where do I marry so-and-so? Somebody said, don't do it. Some of y'all should have done it. Some of y'all should not have done it. What about this one? Where do I send my kids to school? You know, am I doing the right thing? Should I be making sacrifice? Should I be working at this job or that? We have all of these questions, and we want to know what God's will is. It's one of the most popular topics. And I think about it, you know, I think about it like this. Y'all remember the old days when you could just go to the gas station and just get gas and leave? But now you got to answer like a 5-minute quiz to get gas. You got to answer the question about what's your zip code? Do you want to pay debit or credit? Do you have a discount card? Do you want a car wash? Do you want to buy a lottery ticket? Would you like to buy some candy? All I want is some gas. No, I want none of that. I just want gas. I think that's how we feel about God's will. Like, look, God, I don't want all that other stuff. Just tell me yes. Oh, no. Tell me if I'm supposed to do this or not supposed to do this. Tell me if I'm supposed to go or not go. I will follow whatever you tell me, but just make it plain, God. I get so frustrated when I say, Lord, what's your will? And I don't get a, it's this. Don't nobody else feel like, am I the only one? I'm sitting here praying, and how many of you been seeking God? It ain't like you ain't even been asking him. It's different if you ain't never asked him what his will was. And you don't know. But I'm talking about folks who've been sitting there on their knees, crying, snotting, eyes running all bubble up, talking about, God, just tell me what you want me to do. And in your heart of hearts, you're like, yes, God, I will do whatever. And he is completely silent. There is no greater frustration in my life than not knowing what God wants me to do. And I think a lot of people come to Jesus like that. We make a decision to follow Jesus. I want to do what God wants me to do. But then it gets so complicated because there are a million other decisions to make along the way. It would be just fine if I could just come to Jesus, fill up on the tank of Jesus, leave, and everything would be okay. But unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. I still got too many questions every day I got to deal with. Because a lot of people will say, God, just give me the answers. And I wonder, God, why don't you just do that? Some of y'all think something's wrong with you because you're just not getting the answer, yes or no. I want to free you. There is nothing wrong with you. I'm going to show you, because today I think I need you to know that God does want you to know his will. Look at this. Ephesians 5:17 says this. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. God wants us to know his will. I'm like, well, God, if you want us to know your will, how come or why is it you just don't tell us? So when I ask who wants to know God's will in the room, most people in the room's hand went up, and the rest of you apparently just want to live an empty life because you're just glad to be here today. I want to lay for you today a foundation so that you can begin to understand what God's will is. Not just the Lord's will for your life, but what does it mean when we say God's will? What does that actually mean? I want to give you a basic theological understanding of God's will as it's presented in Scripture. And I'm going to use some technical terminology, but I've got this little presentation called God's will that I'm going to show you. It's three concentric circles that will help you understand the will of God. Go ahead, Crystal, put the first one up. The first one is this. God's will is God's works. There are the works of God. Now, theologians would call this the sovereign will of God, or his sovereign purpose. Here's what you need to know about God's sovereign will. God's going to do what he want to do, when he want to do it, and where he want to do it. And it don't matter if you want him to do it or not want to do it. It don't matter if you on board with him doing it or not. It don't matter if you get run over when he does it. But God is going to do what he want to do when he want to do it. Somebody ought to just say hallelujah. Whether you want to participate in what he's doing, he's going to get it done. And let me prove it to you. When God created the world, he did not ask you for your opinion on the world. He did not take a vote. He did not call the Senate committee together. He did not try to pass something through the House and the Senate to make sure that he could create the world. God did not run and ask a survey or a poll about what you think about the world. He just said, let there be light, and there was light. It is the sovereign will of God. He spoke it, and there was. You don't like that example? Abraham. God told Abraham, you're going to have a son. Abraham says, I'm too old. God said, I made your body. I can make it do what I want it to do. So if I say you're going to have a son when you're 100, you're going to have a son. But God, my wife, I made her body too. See, God knows how to bring things to a place that human strength cannot resolve how to get it done. Why? Because when God wants to do something in the earth, he gets it done. It's the sovereign will of God. It's his works. You don't like that? What about Moses? God wanted to deliver his people from slavery. Moses had all kinds of excuses. I don't speak well. I'm not eloquent. How can I convince Pharaoh to do this? God said, you know what? You don't worry about none of that. I got Pharaoh covered. Tell you what, I'm going to bring along one instance to see if it changes his mind. That didn't work. 2, 3, 4, 5. 10 different plagues came upon the Egyptians until Pharaoh said, let my people go. Why? Because God said, you're going to let my people out of it. Let me tell you something. If God is going to do something in your life, ain't no demon in hell going to stop what God is trying to do. Y'all don't like it. Y'all ain't ready. Look. Jesus coming into the world born of a virgin. That's the most ridiculous concept in my mind ever. Who makes a virgin have a baby? Poor girl, she ain't had nothing to do with it. But you know what? God says, I'm sending my son and I'm sending him through you. You ain't got to like it. Luckily, she did. Why? Because when God decides to do something, he gets it done. The death of Jesus. People argue over, was it Romans, Jewish people, religious leaders who killed Jesus? I got news for you. Jesus died because God decided before the beginning of the world that he was going to die. Didn't matter who used to kill him. Watch this. Acts chapter 2, verse 22 through 24. Watch this. It says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourself also know. Watch this. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. Check that out. He was delivered into death. Watch this. By the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. It was not an accident that Jesus died on the cross. It was not that God found himself in some vulnerable position and said, oh my gosh, Judas betrayed him. I don't know what to do. God predetermined that that was going to happen. Now watch this. Watch the rest of the verse. You have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. You took the action of crucifying Jesus, but God planned for Jesus to be crucified. So there's the works of God. Now that brings me to the second thought, which is when we talk about God's will, there's the works of God, which is the sovereign will. And the next thing is there are the ways of God. Theologians call this God's moral law. Crystal, go ahead and put that. Yeah, there you go. Theologians call this God's moral law. It's like the Ten Commandments, his ways. Not just the commandments on stone, but the way God wants us to relate to one another. The conditions of our heart. What Jesus preached about, the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are hungry. Those are all the ways of God. It's that he made us in his image and his likeness, and he wants us to walk just like him. The ways are how we do things. So if you look, you think about this, we have the works of God and the ways of God. God calls us to be holy. God calls us to be set apart. God calls us to be peacemakers. He calls us to be loving, to be humble, to be generous, to be selfless, to reach out to others. All those are the ways of God. They're not easy, but they're absolutely clear. Thou shalt not commit adultery. It don't matter how you feel about it. Y'all don't want to hear this. I got to remember today is a family day. God wants you to have one woman and one man as your wife, or not both. Sorry, I said that wrong. And it don't matter how hard it is for you to say no, that's still God's will. That's his ways. Because the ways of God are clear. It don't mean they're easy. How many of y'all know saying no to people is hard? The young people say can't say nothing because they don't know. Saying no to them is not hard because they say no to us every day. Go clean your room. No. What did you say? I said, I'm on my way, right? They don't have a problem saying no, but when you get older, sometimes it's hard to say no, ain't it? Right. But that's God's ways. I just don't know what God wants me to do, Pastor. Well, let me tell you something. You know what his ways are. He don't want you to lie. He don't want you to cheat. He don't want you to steal. He don't want you to sleep around. Come on, somebody. For children, he don't want you to disrespect your parents. Those are his ways. That's real clear. That stuff is simple. You know that stuff. But that's not what you're really asking me when you ask me what's the will of God, is it? There are very few people who come to me and say, Pastor, I'm committing adultery. What's God's will? I don't think I've ever had anybody say that to me. They don't know what that is. I know what that is, right? Right. When people talk about the will of God, what they really want is they want personal guidance. And the Bible teaches that children are a blessing from the Lord. Watch this. So here's the third part of that, your will. So there's the works, there's the ways, and then there's his personal guidance, which is his will. The Bible teaches that children are a blessing from the Lord, and your children might disprove that statement a lot, just like mine do. They disprove the fact that they're blessings all the time. But God's word says the children are a blessing, but he don't say how many of them to have. You ever thought about that? He said, be fruitful and multiply. So wait a minute. Is it enough that I make two of them so it replaces me and my spouse? Is two enough? Wait, am I supposed to have three, four? When is it fruitful? Y'all ever ask these kinds of questions or y'all just said, I'm done, God. I ain't having no more. Right? See, what we want to know about when we talk about the will of God for our lives is we want the particulars. We want to know the when, the where, and the what. There's not a single person who don't need the answer to these questions. When should I sell my house? When should we make the move? When should I ask this person to marry you? Where should I go to college? Where should I relocate my family and raise them? Where should I send my kids to school to be educated? What am I supposed to do with my life? What is God calling me to do? It's the when, the where, and the what that we really want when we talk about the will of God. And people get all freaked out about all this. It's easy to get freaked out because there are so many different options. And I don't know about you, but I'm like, God, I don't want to make a mistake. I mean, when I gave my my life to you. I had made so many mistakes before. I'm so sick of making mistakes. If I could just know what the when, where, and what is, I won't mess up no more, and at least I know I get this thing right. We are so terrified to think, what if we make a bad decision in a moment and we miss the will of God for our lives? Here's a big one, everybody else. How do I know if this person that I'm with is the one? God, how many of y'all were taught that there's only one for you? You ain't got to say you believe it. Just ask the question. Have you been taught there's one? You got to find the one. I'm about to free somebody today. Let me tell you, there is such a problem with the one thinking. If there is just one person you're supposed to marry and spend the rest of your life with, then if you don't marry them, you've missed the one. And if you miss the one, you have missed the will of God for your life. So let me just take a second and reason through a few things with you on the one. If there really is only one and you miss it, let's say you're supposed to marry John, but you end up marrying Billy. Now, let me ask you this question. If I was supposed to marry John, but I marry Billy, and John goes and marries Mary, then John has married the wrong person, Mary's married the wrong person, and the person Mary was supposed to marry has married the wrong person, and the person that was supposed to marry Mary married the wrong person, and I have just thrown off the romantic balance of the entire universe because I did not pick the one. Now everybody all together with the wrong one, making all the wrong babies, and all the X's and all the Y's are all mixed up in the spiritual universe, and everything's all jacked up because I did not pick the one. Congratulations, you have just messed up the entire human race. Let me tell you something. We are walking around in a prison when we don't have to be. How do I know the will of God for my life? You know, God, I'm supposed to teach. But am I supposed to teach third grade, fifth grade, ninth grade? God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. You know what? I think that if God had an autoresponder, I think he would have an auto response to a lot of these questions. And I think it would just be one response. I don't know what to do, God. Should I teach third, fourth, fifth grade? Should I marry this? You know what I think God would say? I think he would say, I don't care. I don't care. Some people wake up, should I wear the red blouse or the blue blouse? Because if I wear the red blouse, you might bring me to my husband today. And if I wear the blue blouse, I might miss him. You know what God is saying? I don't care. Should I eat spaghetti or hamburgers for dinner? I don't care. I think for some things, God just don't care. Some of y'all are like, I don't believe that. God cares about everything. Yeah, you know what? He got a whole world to work through. And he cares about every hair on your head. That's so true. But I think at some point, he's like, come on, y'all, grow up. Pick a hamburger or a hot dog. I don't care. You know what to do. Maybe pick some chicken. I don't care. Just. Now, I'm not giving you a license to go out and do whatever you want to do, because I'm going to explain this in just a second. But I do think that God is like, y'all trying to get me involved in a whole lot of details that I just... Let me ask y'all this question. How many of y'all have children? When you were little, how many of you chose what your children ate when they were little? You know, when they first come in, we got little Ethan back there. He's about 5, 6 months old. And little Ethan, his mama picked what he wants to eat. I saw on Facebook, his mama picked zucchini. And Ethan was like, bleh, don't want zucchini. And I thought, what mother picks zucchini? I mean, sweet potatoes, bananas. But no, but a good mom, she picks zucchini. I said, what a good mother. I was like, boy, you better eat that fried chicken. Now watch this. As the child grows and they go off to school and they have a lunch menu at school, do you want them calling you in the middle of the day, Mom, should I eat zucchini or chicken? And I'm not talking about just once, but every day. If you don't stop calling me. Because God wants us to grow up to the point And I'm going to teach you how you grow up in a second. He wants you to grow up to the point where you're making decisions, and your decisions are based upon the mind of God. And so now I don't need to call God every second to ask him, what should I do? So what I want to do in this series is I want to achieve some freedom to help you understand what God's will is and the best possible path for your life. It's not necessarily what you thought it was. A lot of us thought that there was a certain thing that God wants us to do, and if we don't do that, then we miss God and God won't bless us. But I want you to understand this. God does have specific assignments for people. You know, watch this. Sometimes there is no option B for you. Jonah going to Nineveh. God, I don't want to go to Nineveh. What's option B? Jonah, go to Nineveh. Is there an option C? Jonah, go to Nineveh. I don't care if you go by boat or if you go by fish, but boy, you going to Nineveh. So there are some times when there are just no options for you. Don't matter what you say, don't matter what you want, God has a plan and he's going to make that, and he wants to make that happen in your life. There are times when God's will says there's something specific he wants you to do, but there is also a sense that God's will is something completely different than what we've been taught. I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. This is our focal passage today. And this is going to be the focal passage for the next 4 weeks as we go over this series. Colossians 3, 17. Now, this verse comes towards the end of a letter that Paul wrote that is extremely theological. It is a very profound letter because it starts off talking about the preeminence and the power of God, that God is the head of our life, that God is first and foremost in our lives. And at the end of Paul talking about how God should be first and foremost in our lives, he says this verse, and I want you to hear the freedom coming through as Paul is speaking this. If God truly is first in your life, number one in your life, Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do. Oh, wait a minute. If God is number one, I want you to catch this. Whatever you do, in word and in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You know what? We've been in agony trying to figure out what the Lord wants me to do. Take this job, work in this department, attend this school, live in that place, pursue this thing, pursue that thing. And here comes Paul in a book talking about Jesus being head over everything and how he must be first and foremost in our life. And he says, whatever you do. Everybody say, whatever. Whatever. What is God's will for my life? Whatever. In whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord. Wait, some of y'all are like, this is theologically imbalanced. I'm about to fix it in just a minute. Some of y'all faces look like, I can't believe Pastor took a turn for the left, talking about I can go do whatever, and it's God's will. I'm going to clean it up in just a second, but I want you to read the scripture. The scripture says, and whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you do. Wait a minute. If God is first in my life, then whatever I do won't just be whatever. Because, watch this, I suggest to you that God's will is pretty simple. God's will is this. Put that circle back up there. Watch this. The first one. Not the first one. Put the one we own, Crystal. I suggest to you this. That when, watch this, I walk in the ways of God, I will always be in his will. Show that next slide. Watch this. Let me say that again. When I walk in the ways of God, I will always be in his will. Well, what are you talking about, Pastor? I feel like God's trying to release some of y'all and some of y'all trying to stay bound, so I'm going to get you free. Here we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. You thought that the will of God meant if I don't get everything right, then God won't bless me. If you know, my friend, they about to commit suicide. If I don't text them or call them, they're going to die and God's going to blame me. It's all my fault. You need to stop that. Because when I walk in his ways, I will always be in his will. What do you want me to say? God wants you to know his will Absolutely. No doubt about it. God is saying, yes, I want you to know my will. But more than that, God wants you to know his ways. Because if you know his ways, you understand how God wants to work in each and every situation in your life. You know how God wants you to think. You know how God wants you to act. You know how God wants you to love one another as you love one yourself. Love yourself. You know God wants you to be selfless. You know God wants you to be humble. When you know God's ways, you understand his will. Watch this. What are you saying? How are you saying if I know God's ways and if I follow God's ways, I'll know his will? Because David said in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 31, as for God, his way is perfect. God's ways are absolutely perfect. Look, y'all missing this. If his ways are perfect and I am doing things his way, then I will always be in his perfect will. Because his ways are perfect, that means what I do has got to be his perfect will. Okay, y'all missing this. We got some wrong ways. Somebody look at me side eye, I cuss you out. That's my way. God says you will never be in my will doing things your way. Oh. The reason why you're struggling to figure out God's will is because you keep doing stuff your way. When you stop doing stuff your way, you start doing stuff God's way, then you'll get God's will. Let me see if I can help you. My son Joshua, it took him a very long time to understand this simple principle. I would say, we are in San Jose. And he said, yes, we're in San Jose. And then his brother would say, we're in California, right? And I said, yes. And Joshua would say, that's not possible. You cannot be in San Jose and in California. I said, yes, you can. And he couldn't grasp. He was like, no, I'm in San Jose. And if his brother said, we're in California, then I said, yes, we're in California. Then Joshua said, but then we're not in San Jose. I said, son, let me explain this. You can be in San Jose and still be in California. Because when you are in San Jose, you are in California. It's the same thing with God's ways. When you are in God's ways, you will be in God. Just happens. There's some of y'all that just get stressed thinking I'm not going to get the will of God right in my life. And God says, stop trying to get the will of God right. Just try to get my ways. Let me show you this to you. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This is going to bring, how many of y'all have heard this scripture a million times over, but I'm going to tell you something. I think if you grab it today, this might give you new revelation on the will of God for your life. Just watch this. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this. It says, trust in the Lord. If you know it, say it with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your acknowledge and he will. Let me say that again. In all your ways, acknowledge him and then he'll start to direct your path. He'll start to straighten stuff out. In all your ways, if you start to live by his ways, come on somebody, and acknowledging him, that means honoring him. That means putting him first in my life. That means, God, I'm going to trust you to take care of this. I'm going to do things your way and trust you. Then he will direct. That means he will guide your path. The problem with us is we think if I do things my way, God is going to show up and move in my situation. And God says, you got this backwards. If you do it my way, then I show up. You waiting for financial breakthrough? Oh, Lord, move in my life. Then do things my way, God says. But God, I don't like your ways. Then I'm not obligated to direct your financial path this way. Oh, good. Y'all don't like it. I got to close, but I'm going to preach this thing for just a hot minute. God, I want you to send me a man. I'm going to go to the club. I'm going to go hook up with folks who ain't saved. Look, you got to try it before you buy it. And then you get into a marriage and you're like, why is it not working? Because you did stuff your way. You didn't acknowledge him, so he wasn't obligated to direct your path. He was not obligated to direct nothing in your life because you did it your way. Well, what if God did send the right person, but you're still doing it your way? Then when the right person come, cause you wrong, when y'all get married, what was supposed to be a right marriage gonna be wrong cause you wrong in the middle of what was supposed to be right. You know why? Cause you're still doing it your way. You know what I want out of you this year? You know what I think God wants? Is for you to stop doing stuff your way. God, I'm tired this Sunday. I don't want to go to church. Obviously, that's none of y'all today. God was like, well, that's your way, isn't it? Go ahead. God, I don't feel like apologizing. Well, that's your way, isn't it? God, I don't like this. I think I should tell everybody how I feel. That's your way, isn't it? Oh, Jesus. He's not obligated. I'm going to give you three quick points and I'm going to close. Because that was the basis. Here's the three points. Number one, realize that God's will is present more than its future. Some of y'all are living for 10 years from now instead of living for today. You don't know what's going to happen. You know what car accident is, cancer, you know, heart attack. You don't know about none of that. So you invest all your energy in speculation about the future and it's draining your passion for today. Whatever you are doing right now can become God's will when you do it God's way. Let me tell you something. I am a big idea person. Does anybody been around me for a long time? I think I not only am big ideas, I think big. I think I dream big. Watch this. And I want to write books, and I'm a big idea person. When I write books and I think about writing books, you know what I think about? I think about the cover, and I think about the title, and I think about all the people it's going to reach, and I think about the marketing, and I think about this is going to be so amazing. All of those are my favorite parts about writing a book. I like everything about writing a book except for one thing. Writing a book. And some of us are like that. We want God to give us the grand idea, but we don't want to do the details to make the grand idea come to life. We want God to show us the whole plan, and God is like, just focus on right now. You know what I can't stand? Oh my God, I'm trying to close, but I gotta say it. You know what I can't stand more than anything? Is I can't stand a kid telling me how they're gonna be the greatest singer, or they're gonna be the next NBA player, or they're gonna be the next business owner, and they ain't doing nothing in school. They ain't going to no vocal classes. Come on, somebody. Can't even go to practice on time. Show up when they supposed to show. Oh, y'all don't want to hear this. And it ain't just kids. I can't stand adults who do the same thing. Oh, God, God's got big dreams for me. Well, how come you can't get off the couch and get a job? Why? Because what you do now will determine who you are in the future. God's ways right now will help me to learn how to walk in his will later. I got to do stuff now if I'm going to see God move in my life. Like, oh, y'all missing this. I dare you to tell me that God's got a plan for your life and you ain't doing nothing now. I dare you to tell me it's going to come to pass. Because you know what God is saying? I'll move when you move. Is that a song? Must be a song I don't know about. Let me show you this in scripture. I'm trying to leave. I really am. Exodus 3. I'm going to show you this in scripture. Hit the other points real quick. Exodus 3:1. Moses was tending sheep. You can read it when you go home. Exodus 3:1. Moses was tending sheep in the backyard. Moses was supposed to deliver the world, but he lost. He clueless. He was tending sheep. Watch this. And the Bible says, and he led the flock to the back of the desert, came to the Mount of Horeb. Verse 2, watch this. Watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in the midst of a bush. He was tending sheep, and a bush was burning. So he looked and beheld the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Watch verse 3, watch this, watch this, watch this. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. I will now, I'm tending sheep in the backside of the desert, and I see a bush, and I'll turn. Wait. Moses received his calling when he was just doing the now. He was tending sheep, minding his business, and then God showed up with a burning bush. Look, some of y'all out there looking for the burning bush, and you're missing the sheep. And so you're wondering, why is God not speaking? And God is saying, until you learn how to tend the sheep on the backside of the desert, I'm not going to cause a flame to show you nothing yet. Why? Because I move when you get in my way. When you learn how to handle those sheep, then you'll learn how to handle my 2 million people. Because you can't handle sheep well, I can't cause no burning bush to help you handle nothing else. Get in the now. You want the greater plan? Go to your job and do it well now. But pastor, I clean toilets. I'm supposed to be a preacher. Clean them well. Because when you get a pastor, you might have to clean toilets then too. Nothing dirtier than ministry. Two, God's will is motive before action. What does it mean to do something in Jesus' name? It means in his dependence, with confidence in his authority. It means it's the motive of my heart. Why are you doing what you're doing? You can't get your why right, God ain't going to show you what else to do. I used to tell people who tell me they want to be a preacher. Oh, God's called me to pastor a church. I say, well, what you doing now? If your motive is just to stand up in front of a bunch of people and talk, then when hell breaks loose in your church, you're going to be out. But what sustains you when hell breaks loose is your why. So what God wants is your ways is to get your how, that means what I'm doing right now, and your why together. If he gets your how you do it and why you do it together, then he's ready to show you the when, where, and what. Oh, y'all missing that. Well, like this. And the third thing I want to tell you is God's will is a person more than a place. God's will is all about him. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's will is not a place. It is not a destination. It is a person. Explain this to me. St. Augustine, one of the greatest theologians, said this: love God and do as you please. Love God and do as you please. Whatever you do, when you love God, when you turn to him, when you trust him, you'll be in his will. Romans 8:28 says, all things, you'll see all three of them there, work, that's God's work, together for the good of those who love, that's his ways. Love God to those who are called according to his, watch this, purpose, that's his will. If you want all the mess in your life to work together, love God. Make that your way. And as you make loving God your way, he will line up his purpose in your life. Come on, stand to your feet. I'm done. I hope you got it. What do I want you to do? What I want you to do, I want you to discover God's ways and do them. Live in his ways. How do I do that, Pastor? OSL. No greater way to learn the ways of God than reading his word. Hope this was helpful. How many of y'all felt this was helpful for you? I don't know why I'm going through this. What's God's will? I don't know. What's his ways for how he wants you to go through it? Pastor, don't make sense. This shouldn't be happening to me. I don't know what's going on, but just discover God's ways. How would God want you to handle what's going on? I'm waiting on God to move and do this in my life. I get that, but how does God want you to handle it while you wait? It's his ways. Let me pray for you. If you're here today and you're saying, you know what, God? This year, I want to do stuff your way, not mine. I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. I'm not going to make you come to the altar. I just want to pray with you right here where you are. Father, I pray for every person with their hand lifted. I pray in the name of Jesus that we would know your ways. Father, help us to distinguish the difference between our way and your way. And then when we distinguish it, Lord, give us the strength to obey. Give us the strength to say, yes, God, I'll do it your way and not my own. Father, I thank you for each and every person that's here today. And I pray that this year in 2018, that we will set ourselves up to be in the perfect will of God like never before, because we're walking in your ways like never before. May we be a people who are walking in the ways of God. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody say amen. Amen. Hey, if you're here today and you've never given your heart or your life to Jesus Christ and you'd like to do so, I'd like to ask you a simple question. There's a little card, I believe. Are there decision cards in there? Are they out there? Okay. No, just if you'd like to do that, you can come see me afterwards. I'll be in the hospitality room. I'd love to see you. First-time visitors, come there. Hey, if you're in need of prayer, come on up, prayer team. If you're on our prayer team, our pastors, deacons, or prayer teams, come on up. If you're in need of prayer today, they're here to pray with you. We want you to know that God loves you. And my prayer is that, I tell you this, everyone in here could end up smack dab in the perfect will of God if you just follow his ways. So I want to encourage you to do that. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. Thanks for letting me go a little bit over. It was first Sunday. I apologize. But normally we get out of here a lot sooner. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May the Spirit of the living God rest, rule, and abide with each of you henceforth, now, and forever. When people ask how you're doing, may your response be? please feel free to come up and see one of our greeters. Give somebody a hug today. And if you're a first-time visitor, please feel free to come and get some coffee and meet me in the welcome room.
You have been listening to Pastor Shayna Hurd, Senior Pastor of Rohi Christian Church, a multi-ethnic, economically diverse, Spirit-led congregation located in San Jose, California. For audio teaching downloads by Pastor Shayna, service times and directions, or to become a Rohi partner, go to www.rohichurch.org or write to Rohi Christian Church, 474 Piercy Road, San Jose, California, 95138.